Dogs and Ukraine. Well, the name Chernobyl is synonymous with nuclear disaster. It's been almost 33 years since a nuclear plant in the Ukrainian city blew up, spreading radiation far and wide. Access to the exclusion zone is still restricted, but that hasn't stopped hundreds of dogs from living there, some 250 in the plant itself. Until recently, it was illegal to remove them from the site, but the Ukrainian government changed that. Lucas Hickson is the co-founder of the Clean Futures Fund. His group is helping to rescue the dogs of Chernobyl and put them up for adoption in the U.S. and Canada. So the first thing I think a lot of people are going to want to know is, Luke, are the dogs radioactive? Like, if you adopt one, can they pass on radiation or radiation sickness to their new owners?
No, the dogs themselves are not radioactive. The concern that you would have is with some type of like superficial contamination that's picked up on their fur from living in this environment. Now, the dogs that we rescue are puppies, and we rescue them as soon as they are weaned from their mothers. And so at this point, they really don't explore the environment. They stay in the area where their mother has given birth to them and feeds them. And so we've actually never had a puppy that has posed any superficial contamination risk.
So how did you start this project?
I'm a radiation specialist. And so that's actually what first brought me to Chernobyl with my other co-founder, Eric Kambarian, in 2013. And I remember the first time that I stepped off of the train and looked around, and I was amazed to see six or seven stray dogs wandering around this area where the workers are released and where they enter the plant site. And everywhere we went through the site, we kept seeing more and more dogs. And this was just something that I had not expected. It really surprised me.
So how did the dogs become strays in the first place? I mean, the accident at Chernobyl happened in 1986.
So in 1986, when the residents of the 30-kilometer exclusion zone were evacuated, they were forced to leave everything in their life behind. Some of them were told that they could bring enough clothing and funds for two or three days. They told that they would be able to return, but they never were. The animals were left behind either in their houses or chained in the front yards. Sometimes the residents would leave signs on the doors that said, "My dog is inside. Please don't forget to feed him." Now, those animals that were left behind were left to fend for themselves. The Soviet military sent soldiers through the exclusion zone to kill what animals and livestock remained. But obviously, this is a very tough job for anyone with a compassionate heart to do, and many of these animals survived. And over the years, these dogs have continued having puppies.
What is the most heartwarming story you've heard about a Chernobyl puppy adoption?
Well, I can tell you from my perspective as well. So this is kind of a two-sided story. The dogs in the exclusion zone are largely pack mentality. You know, they build their own packs. In that pack, they have their hierarchy. So Chernobyl dogs, like the dog that I've adopted, Dva, they're very sensitive to other dogs. They're always trying to figure out where they fit in. And oftentimes, until they get to know the other animals, they're pretty timid. But this summer, we were able to adopt two puppies from the same litter, and they both went to homes in Ohio. And after about 4 or 5 months of being in the United States, these adoptive families found each other, and they decided to have a puppy play date. And I saw this great, incredible video where they brought these puppies together for the first time, two puppies from the same litter, and almost immediately they recognized each other, even though they probably hadn't seen each other in 4 or 5 months. And they just start running around and playing like puppies you would normally expect. And that was really incredible for me to really see that, because I know how sensitive they are to other animals. So to see their sibling and just to immediately fall right back into that puppy play, it was one of the best things I've seen.
That is a great story. Luke Hickson, founder of Clean Future Fund, getting adoptive families for the puppies of Chernobyl. Thank you for your time. Good on you for the work you're doing. And the dogs, thank you too.
Thank you so much, Marco. And thanks for having me on the show.
And a quick postscript. Lucas Hickson's work on behalf of dogs is not limited to Ukraine. When we reached him earlier today for that interview, here's where he said he was.
I'm in Iraq right now, so if the connection's a little spotty, my apologies.
It's actually quite clear. What are you doing in Iraq?
I'm actually rescuing some dogs for U.S. soldiers and transporting them back to be reunited with their new families in the U.S.
Wow. Are these dogs that these soldiers once knew and are attached to in some way?
Correct. So when the soldiers are based overseas, there's a lot of stray dogs that end up living around the bases. So the soldiers will make friends with the dogs. And then the soldier gets sent back home. and the dogs are left behind. So there's an organization in the U.S. called SPCA International, and I'm a flight volunteer for them. So I'm one of the people that will fly over Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, help pick up the dogs, get them on the planes, and then bring them back to the States and reunite them with the soldiers and their families.
Very cool. Again, that was Lucas Hickson, co-founder of the Clean Futures Fund.